So this morning, I'm talking about perfection and potential. Let me start with a quote from Master M out of the book, The Call. He says, "We lend our ears to pure thoughts. You will receive the knowledge and will walk the pure path, but be aware of anger, be aware of doubt. If you conquer, you will receive the light. If you falter, the whirlwind will obscure your soul. Perfect yourselves, my friends, unwearingly. Deny not the voice of the Spirit. Suppress only the earthbound voices. Be daring. I am with you." And so that's the introduction to perfection and potential. This verse is an instruction from one of the first writings given by Master M in the book, The Call. In this verse, he tells us, "Perfect yourselves, my friends, unwearingly." This means we must, without complaint, strive unceasingly. From test to test, experience to experience, moment to moment, and life after life, to improve ourselves. Now, isn't this interesting? I wonder how many people on the street think this way. You know, most people on the street say, "If I'm 65, can I retire now? Can I take early retirement, buy that boat, my speed car?" Well, so obviously this is not for the person on the street. The talk this morning is really for people who want to advance themselves, who recognize each incarnation is a gift to surpass ourselves on this journey of life. So Master M instructs that if we conquer our problems, then we are going to receive light. If we conquer our problems, we are going to receive light. So the question is then, what is light? Light is life. Life from the eternal source. Light is life from the eternal source. One day a person asked me if I had an altar in my home, and my answer was yes. An altar is a symbol of the abode of light. This is why we have an altar here. Light is the life-giving substance. When you receive light, something happens to you. You feel different. As you strive to conquer your problems, at first, you feel like it's your darkest hour. And then as you continue to strive, you perfect yourself. And a little light will be released from your core. Then a little more. Light is life. And as the light increases, you can see better. And everything becomes clearer to you. When you visit here on Sunday mornings and see the beauty of the altar, the flowers, the lighted candles, the statue of the Maitreya, the picture of the Christ, and Saint Sergius and the Mother of the World, these are symbols of the abode of light. The altar is sacred. We do not worship symbols, but the source of light, the abode of light. It is so beautiful. Beauty will save the world. We invite people to bring flowers to place on the altar. When they bring their beautiful flowers and place them on the altar, it is a gift that they are giving to the abode of life. We give light and we receive light. It is such a beautiful opportunity to bring flowers for the altar, but only if the person makes it most special and an honored experience. So, perfection of potentials. Each person who is responsive to their inner potential, who is sensitive and responsive to their higher self, feels the urge to surpass themselves at every stage of their life. During life's tests, such as what? I mean, we could write a book on life's tests, right? So I've listed a few, like tests of courage, tests of strength, spirit, tests of spirit over matter, tests of humility. Imagine what that must be. What kind of tests are tests of humility? Endurance, resourcefulness, tests of love, spiritual discrimination, tests of staying or continuing on the spiritual path. All of these are tests at every stage of our life. Men and women who are not yet responsive to their inner potential, to the evolution of their soul, will fail when they meet these tests. Falling further into the attractions of the mundane life until they become so sickened with the mundane life they sincerely and finally ask for help. And that help will once again be given, but it is not easy. The verse says, if you falter, the whirlwind will obscure your soul. This means if we lose our faith, if we are not responsive to the divine self, our life is going to fall into chaos when we meet these tests. The mundane life is defined as chaos. I think we could all agree with that. Some describe it as hell. The mundane life obscures us from our soul, the beauty and the life of our soul. We replace the light, love, and beauty of our soul with our whining, our worries, our fears, our doubts, our ego and vanity, our stubbornness, our bossiness, our desire to control everyone and everything, and so forth. The verse also tells us, deny not the voice of spirit, suppress only the earthbound voices. Every day we can receive the guidance of our inner voice, the inner presence, but the advice is oftentimes not heard because of these earthbound voices. Earthbound voices are the voices of doubt and fear, of earthly desires, voices of anger and self-pity and depression and pride and vanities and ego and more. So this is why we are encouraged to meditate every day. It is in meditation, true meditation, we contact our voice of spirit, our inner potential. In daily meditation, in service, in study, we eventually find our hidden potentials, our hidden treasures. It's interesting to me when people say, I really would love to meditate, but you know, I just don't have time. And people will say, I try to meditate, but the thoughts are so running like a race car through my head, I can't stop them. Well, if you turn that around and think that meditation is where we find our inner potential, those inner treasures, then isn't it worth giving extra time to learn how to really and truly meditate and then discover who you are, discover those potentials? And these potentials are given to us at birth. It's not our DNA. These are spiritual potentials bestowed upon the soul when we are born. But we have to find them. The verse concludes, "Be daring, I am with thee." Even in childhood, if you had a sense of light and love and beauty within you, if you sensed the master in your heart, you were going to become successful, happy, and enlightened. We must strive on the path of perfection, step by step. We must strive to conquer our immediate problems, challenges, and obstacles. We must strive to destroy our immediate limitations, and then, without leaving any void behind us, move to the next step. If we leave one problem behind, listen to this, if we leave one problem behind, it will turn into even bigger problems on the path ahead of us. If you think about it, you think about those problems that you put aside, that you left behind, and then they come, they come back around again. They're huge, and they get huger, they get larger. It's like a Jupiterian experience where they just get magnified. And so it takes longer and longer and longer to resolve and tackle these delayed problems. This is how to strive in harmony with the law of perfection. Those who push themselves beyond what they are able to do, this is interesting, beyond their karma, are going to have more problems in their evolution than those who do not consciously choose to strive. We must improve ourselves step by step. Instead of trying to be a master in a few months or an icon of enlightenment in a few months. Does it make haste slowly? Isn't that what the master says? Many students of the path of perfection and potential have achieved. Many have temporarily failed because of the difficulty of the battle. But those who have endured, and that's the point that is so important. You can fail, and that's okay to fail. It's just another test. The test of failure is endurance. Because those who have endured, who have persisted in their lives, eventually become the most beautiful shining lights in their groups, in humanity, despite the many failures that they have passed through. Oftentimes, people will come to me for advice, asking how they can improve themselves and how they can become more active in the teaching and more involved in the group work. But in the end, what they're really asking is, tell me what I want to hear, not what I need to know. And they say this in various ways. For example, one student came to me a few years ago during a time of his emotional depression. He said, I know I should be doing this and that to improve myself, but I just can't right now. Things are too difficult for me. I know I'm not supposed to smoke, for I tell others how damaging it is to their health. But during times like this, I sometimes feel I need a cigarette. I know it is not good for me to drink liquor or smoke pot if I'm meditating daily. But with the way my life is right now, I find it helps me feel better. I know what is good for me, but with my life the way it is now, I just can't help myself. Is that all right? I said, just do what you can do. If I told that person, don't meditate, don't drink, don't smoke, and expect to have healthy lungs despite it all, if I had said, don't ask for enlightenment and then destroy your potential by becoming enslaved by the pull of the mundane life, they would pull themselves, push themselves beyond what they would be capable of doing. This would cause further problems for them later on, and so in the beginning, they pretended to be something else that they were not. And in that pretense, see, they fooled themselves. You must decide these things for yourself, not because someone else is lecturing to you or intimidating you with fears or with religious dogma and so forth. Striving to improve yourself must come from an inner urge. If someone tells you that you must do this and that, you're going to eventually really, really dislike that person or that group. And you'll become so filled with guilt, it will lead to hatred. And through hatred, you will slander the group, criticize the group, and turn people away from the light. I mean, I know this because I've tried it. I'll put someone or two or three people on probation, and they fail the probation, and where they were at the beginning of their probation status multiplied, increased by tenfold, and it all turned into hatred. And that hatred eats inside the person. It would have been better just to say, God bless you and be on your way, and let life be their path of probation. They will become so filled with guilt, it will lead them to hatred. This brings a terrible karma upon themselves. So do not try to save others. Only save yourself. As you try to save yourself, as you strive step by step on the path of perfection, your striving will ignite the light in others. When a student comes to me and says, I'm having problems in my life, which is pushing me off course, can you help me? Of course I will help. I will give them one little thing to do. And then if they do it, I'll give them another discipline to do and so forth. But if later they come to me and say, please don't be mad at me because I did not take your advice, will you forgive me? I will tell them that they must forgive themselves and try again. See, it doesn't work to make the person feel guilty. The teaching is not about guilt. I'll also tell them to stop whining if they can take it. If not, I remain silent, for I know that someday they will hear the voice of their inner presence. A disciple is on an accelerated path. Not all can stand the pressure of such speed. How beautiful is life for the one who has left behind their miseries, who is heading toward transformation and resurrection, who has left behind their pains and ignorance and fears and jealousies and limitations, lifting themselves into the joy of striving, perfection, and the cultivation of their potential, their inner treasures. There are times that a teacher can give a student a mantra to help them face and conquer their limitations, their problems, their tests. Mantras may bring energy to the person, which will help them to overcome their problems. But this can only be done after the teacher watches their aura, sees the stage of their evolution, and knows the situation of their karma. There are not many mantras that can help people without strict supervision of knowledgeable teachers, but there are a few. And one is called the Gayatri, and the other is Avirma Virma Yati. Our choir has recorded Avirma Virma Yati, and we play it for you every once in a while, although I don't think I've heard it for quite some time, nor the Gayatri. The next time you hear it, notice if your heart feels a response. The Gayatri, have you heard it? You can sing the Gayatri, this mantra, for 15 minutes a week. Both of these mantras will help give you energy to solve your problems, helping you as you strive on this path of perfection. These mantras will release the potential in you to surpass yourself. There are moments of great joy that result in an urge toward perfection, with a surge of energy, like when the wind picks up the embers of a fire and the flame seems to suddenly explode into action. These moments of joy occur when the one who is striving toward perfection meets another disciple who is striving on the path of perfection, or when the student finds the teachings, their teacher, and has a conscious or unconscious contact with their inner presence. Another moment is when the disciple has conscious contact with their master, or has a dream in which they find themselves in the classroom of the ashram. These are moments of joy, which result in a surge of energy on the path of striving. The law of perfection is the law of striving. Perfection is our potential. The other day I was reading the most stupid article about how nobody will ever perfect themselves and that it's a waste of time. I could not believe I found that article. Perfection is our potential. I wish that they had a moment to listen to this lecture. Perfection is our potential. Potential is the seed for the manifestation of beautiful visions, labor, and service. Potentials are our hidden treasures. Each one of us has the potential for perfection, but perfection can only be attained by conscious and spiritual labor, by daily striving to surpass our present level of beingness, even if you're 100 years old. I think of Betty White, you know, who just recently died, like a couple of days before her 100th birthday. She never stood still. When she became 80, she didn't give up and quit. Or 90, or 95. She never threw in the towel and jumped into bed and stayed there until she died. Perfection can only be attained by conscious and spiritual labor. Master Moria says, they will ask, wherein is the striving for perfection? The reply, in love, in beauty, in action. These three paths suffice. Love, beauty, and action. MM indicates that our striving toward perfection will receive their notice and their help. He says, we manifest revelations unto a sensitive ear. And they, in thy wish, he says, may bring to thee our voice, our ray, as a beacon, is searching the darkness, and with the aid of its light, the ship reaches its port. Many people these days appear to be fearful of change, not by word, but by deed, for they do not have a sense of the infinite. They are fearful to transcend themselves, for it requires diligence, commitment, transformation, and the shedding of their imperfections. But the disciple is fearless, and with diligence will welcome the path of perfection, for it is written in the call. The disciple knows that, and this is a quote, even beneath a tree, he will feel himself sheltered. Even beneath a rock, he will feel himself firm. He knows that in his striving toward perfection, as he meets the difficulties of his karma, he will be protected in the ray of the Master. A ray of his ray will be lent to us, and we will shine. MM says, our ray radiates, and in the silence of the ocean, thou shalt seek us. Groups, members of groups who are striving on the path of perfection must protect the strivings of their co-workers. In ancient times, disciples knew the importance of shielding one another, and of the importance to guard the dignity and integrity of the community. For in protecting the strivings of our co-workers, we will achieve happiness of the common good. Today's more modernistic disciple is frequently seen as pushing himself ahead of his brothers and sisters. He puts himself in positions of importance and places his co-workers in subservience to his or her position of importance. Just know, though, that subservience is not service to the hierarchy. We are advancing on the path of perfection toward God. Either we are going to advance on that path and say, in this life, I am going to be a master, or we are going to resign from it and say, in this life, I will just be a pretender. You are going to choose because you are now in the middle. The backward path is pain and suffering and failure and defeat. We don't want this. Any reasonable person is not going to want that. We cannot go anywhere on the spiritual path if our conflicts continue. We pray for light to descend upon us. Then the next moment we lie and we gossip and say things that hurt people. We divide people and cause trouble. Can you become somebody? We can do this. You can do this. You can do it. You can tell yourself you are the most beautiful person in the world. And you begin to act the way the most beautiful person in the world would act. Once you say this to yourself, then you must believe it and act as if you are the most beautiful person in the world. See, this is not illusion. This is real. It must be real. You cannot pretend and then not change yourself. Who is your hero? Do you have one? For many spiritual women, Helena Roark is our hero. She was the most beautiful, noble, courageous, compassionate, wise, and intelligent woman who gave the world a most beautiful teaching. For men in the teachings, Nicholas Roark may be their hero. Can you say that you are as beautiful as Nicholas Roark? Or perhaps Tagore or Gandhi or Martin Luther King, or as an honorable head of state or president? Can you be like one of those great men and women? Once you are on the path, you cannot turn your back, but you can turn, you can stand in the same place, a place where you cannot turn back nor go forward. When this happens, it puts you in a very precarious position. You know you cannot teach these things to people who have a dead heart or have not matured the qualities in their heart. When the flame of the heart is burning brightly in your nature, you will love striving. You will love traveling the path of perfection and labor daily to cultivate your inner treasures. When people wrong you, you will find ways to forgive them and not take revenge. Should I repeat that again? Maybe it'll be broadcast on CNN. When people wrong you, find ways to forgive them and do not take revenge. People whose hearts are aflame can be abused, hit and poked, but they will still care for you. They will still love you. They will say, I understand what made you do those things. See, this is so interesting to me. We look at people's pets. Pets can be just like that, abused and neglected and hit, and yet they will love you unconditionally. The middle of the spectrum of love will be the child who is abused, or the wife or the husband who has been battered, but out of fear they will remain quiet or cling to the one who is abusing them. The other end of the spectrum is the one whose heart is aflame, the one who is fed by their higher nature. This is the person I am talking about. They have the wisdom to understand the behaviors of their attackers, and in that wisdom, love their accuser. Such a person cannot have remorse or plan revenge against the other because the fires of the heart burn immediately burn the problem. When the fire of the heart is dead, such a person will curse others and take revenge out upon them. They will try to extinguish the flame. You must have an ignited flame of your heart to understand this teaching. If you don't, then you won't. You will laugh at the forgiving one, belittle them, make fun of them. betray them. And if you do, you will find yourself in this life filled with many sufferings because of such narrow-mindedness and lack of acceptance of forgiveness. It takes a long time to understand these things. Some teachers, now this is interesting, some teachers will try to shame you. Some teachers will condemn you for what you have done, and they will tell you what wrongs they believe that you did, and tell you that you are going to hell, and that you are a lost soul. Now these are teachers with a little T. You must run from such people, or if you are strong enough, stay and learn about the nature of such enemies of evolution. But don't be fooled by their speeches. They will make you weak. They will try to make you feel guilty about your actions, whether your actions are right or wrong. They will tell you to join them because they love you. Be vigilant. Protect yourself. Be beautiful so you can tell when ugliness is trying to capture your life. Whatever these types of spiritual teachers don't know, what they don't know is that whatever you did in your past, it was right at that time. And that is why you did it. You may wish now that you didn't do it, but you see, it was right at the time. Later, you will learn from those difficulties, see, from these things. When your consciousness expands and you move to this next stage of higher consciousness, you will be able to find out the causes of how those actions occurred and the results. Then you will decide how not to do it again. You see, the flame of your heart, the level of your consciousness, the result of your striving, helped you learn your lesson. One day, Omar Khayyam went to a mosque. After his prayers, he noticed a little prayer rug. I just love this. He noticed a little prayer rug there, which he really liked. After the congregation left, he pretended to still be praying and meditating. Then, at the moment when no one would notice, he hid the rug inside his clothes and he took it home. When he got there, he admired the beauty of the carpet and he started talking with God. God, he said, now don't count this as a sin, because you made me in such a way that I did just what you built me to do. Well, how easily we can fool ourselves. But we cannot fool ourselves when the flame is blazing in our heart, for the heart will reveal our impurities and make us take that carpet back. Our heart will reveal our Maya and glamours and illusions to ourselves, and we will have the urge to step by step strive to improve ourselves while cultivating our potentials and our hidden treasures. So I want to repeat the verse that I read at the beginning from the call with this as a closing. We lend our ears to pure thoughts. You will receive the knowledge and will walk the pure path, but be aware of anger and of doubt. If you conquer, you will receive the light. If you falter, the whirlwind will obscure your soul. Perfect yourselves my friends, unwearingly. Deny not the voice of spirit. Suppress only the earthbound voices. Be daring. I am with you.